Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show from the Labatt Blue Studio. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white, drink blue and light. And don't forget to try the new Labatt Blue Light Seltzer Variety Pack, available at retailers throughout Pennsylvania.
And welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. It is quarter number four. I'm Jim Galante along with Dustin Hawkinsmith. And Dustin, we've been talking about name, image, and likeness in our whole episode here where we're talking about the NCAA and college football on the whole. Before we move on from name, image, and likeness, I know there was something you wanted to add to that discussion.
Yeah, I just to put into context how I think this is going to most impact things moving forward. It might be in ways that you wouldn't even notice right away, and that's just with being able to monetize your social media, being able to create camps and clinics based around your expertise as opposed to just participating in them. I think there are more subtle ways that athletes are going to get into being able to make a little bit of money that goes beyond, you know, representing a sleazy car dealership or, you know, any of the images you might have in your head of a kid, you know, being able to get marketing deals. In this day and age is going to look a lot more like ads on their own videos. And I know, like, for another good example, there was a wrestler from Minnesota probably like 10 years ago who was trying to make a career for himself as a rapper on the side. And he was told that he had to either go by an alias or he had to give up rap. And what he did was he gave up college sports. You know, he gave up college wrestling and pursued that instead. Now you're going to have kids who have aspirations beyond the football field that, okay, maybe you can make a music video and you can attach an ad to your music video and you can make some money off an interest of yours. I mean, there are a billion different ways we'll see monetization come to light, but I just feel like it's going to be more subtle than a lot of people maybe think it's going to be.
And Dustin, that would be the right way. That's the intended way for this to work. But we all know there will be instances where it's not that way. That's the part that they have to be careful with. Dustin, let's move on from name, image, and likeness to a couple other changes that are coming to the game. And I know we talked about this previously, but it's another big story, and that's the idea of expanded playoffs. I think that's coming quicker than people think. I know in your notes you talk about the 12-team playoff could be implemented as soon as the 2026 season, but there's money to be made here, Dustin. I think it could happen quicker than that.
It's just going to require working their way around existing contracts, and there's certainly, you know, the way those contracts exist right now, I think the 2026 was from The Athletic, but I think if there's good motivation and there's enough money to be made, they can work their way around that 2026. Now, what'll be interesting is, let's just say it's 2024 or something like that. How far do athletes' rights go between now and when the playoff would begin, to the point where are athletes going to be at the table saying, we don't want to play 17 games? You know, or if you're gonna make us play 15, 16, 7, if we're going to play, do extra work and make extra money for schools, then we deserve a X percent cut. At some point in time, that's going to be part of the process here. That's the direction things are going. There is no right now any collective bargaining, but I think that's the direction things are going, and they're going to have a seat at the table at some point. Maybe it's not for this, but at some point down the road.
And Dustin, this is the time where the NCAA, instead of sitting back and waiting for that to happen to them, they could step up first. What was the expression? Nimble and adaptable. How about if the NCAA says, you know what, this is going to make us an extra, and I think the conversation was in the billions, if this is going to make us an extra $2 billion, how about we set aside some of that money for the people who are making us that money, the players? Instead of sitting back and waiting, if they're proactive with it, then they can control it a bit, and as opposed to, where they get their butt kicked again when they give the players nothing.
And really, if we're being honest here, we're doing an honest assessment of the NCAA. The NCAA has to change everything about everything they do. How do you go about being this corporate behemoth with a bunch of old white guys making decisions that are all, it's all designed to make as little change as possible? It's to protect the model that they have. That's why they fought this amateurism thing tooth and nail. They have not wanted to make any changes whatsoever. In order to get more nimble and adaptable, they're going to have to get younger. They're going to have to restructure themselves in order to get there. They're going to have to go from this on their heels reactive enterprise where they're kind of playing the victim all the time. It's not our fault. We're just representing the schools. You know, we don't have any power in this. We're just representing the schools. They're going to have to be able to take a more forward-thinking approach just in everything that they do. And in order to do that, frankly, they need new leadership in every single area, a new vision for what the NCAA is. If they want to remain, you know, this entity that makes the kind of money that they do, they're going to have to be more forward-thinking. And in this case, like, I feel like when it came to name, image, and likeness, the NCAA had a responsibility, a leadership responsibility to the school saying, listen, we don't want this to change. You don't want this to change. But I think it's beyond the point where it's in our control whether this is going to change or not. We're facing pressure from every single area. The sooner we get on board with coming up with a plan, the more we can dictate what this looks and feels like, the more we can dictate what the future holds for all of us. But nobody had that influence to say this is changing with or without us. We better get on board now. And I don't have a lot of confidence that whether it's the playoff or whether it's collective bargaining or whether it's athlete revenue, whatever the case might be, if it's different from what they're doing right now, the NCAA is not in a good position to be part of that.
And I'll only disagree with you on one thing. You talked about diversity of old white men making the decision. What's got to diversify is not age, not gender, not skin color, but thought. The way they think has to change. I don't care where that comes from or who it is. That's what has to change. And one of the examples, though, I thought of, and I can understand where, you know, if you're up to potentially 17 games, is it, if you go all the way through. Remember in our 2020 season, one of the things the Big Ten did, instead of having everyone played 12, you know, the 12 games, and then you have the championship game, which gives those two teams 13 games. Why didn't you change it to an 11-game season? And then the week of the championship game, you do matchups of, okay, first-place teams are playing in the championship game. Number two plays number two, three versus three. You alternate which division, you know, is the home team. So if it's the East Division, Penn State knows they'll get a home game as their 12th game. So what you do is you still give the rest of the teams 12 games, but the championship team, instead of getting 13, they get 12. Right there is one game taken away, and you don't lose the revenue that you do going from 12 to 11. There are ways to be creative about these things, but, you know, just be, how about being agile and nimble, Dusty? Is this group capable of doing that? I'm not sure that they are. You know, I have to see it's
a noble thought, and that's a great idea about, or something similar to that, of conference championship weekend. And it's interesting, you know, I think the pandemic in a lot of ways for a lot of leadership in athletic administration made them think in ways that they never thought before. And as we're on this cusp of change, the experience of going through that could make these people better for it. Could make them think more creatively. Like, everybody had to think outside the box just to survive the past calendar year, the past academic year. Maybe that'll better position some of these people to think a little bit better about these things.
Exactly. And in the last couple minutes that we have, Dustin, another topic that it's going to be part of this whole equation, and that's, you know, it's happening everywhere in sports, social justice. And we're seeing it. I saw some things in the Olympic trials where the national anthem came on. And that is going to be part of all of these things where players get more of a say. But it's like, how far can you let that go? What are going to be the repercussions of that, Dusty?
Well, I mean, as you put it before, you know, there is a line to straddle if you're a college football coach. But my thought on this is you've already seen this become more of a thing. You know, coaches are challenged with, you know, if you've got a locker room that's a majority African-American and you don't listen to the needs or the wants or the concerns or the wishes of the majority of your locker room, if you shut that down and are authoritarian about that, I think that can hurt you. On the other side, if you are saying, yeah, do whatever you want to protest the anthem, that can have some repercussions to the institution, to your football program, to, you know, sponsorship deals, for example. I mean, there are different expectations of a college athlete than a professional athlete. Professional athletes are viewed as adults. And I'm sure, you know, to use your point from earlier, the Lakers might not love it if LeBron James takes position A, B, or C, but he's an adult. And, you know, if he angers the wrong people, it's going to cost him money and not the franchise money. But that dynamic is different in college sports. But so I think what you need is, but I think inevitably, basically, if a college athlete is becoming more powerful tomorrow than he or she is today, that's going to spill into more and more social justice and these different causes and things like that. I think the key for James Franklin, any coach, any football program, anybody in athletic administration is establishing guidelines or a protocol. And I think James Franklin's position has been a pretty good one in that I'm not going to shut you down, but I want to make sure that if you're opening your mouth, you have something relevant to say, thoughtful to say, something that's going to make this conversation better and not inflame a certain situation. So maybe they go through a series of checks or balances or approval of saying, if you're going to grab a microphone at an event, we need to hear what's going to come out of your mouth.
And at the college level, I think an example of this, Dustin, is what happened at Texas with, you know, the Texas fight song or whatever it was. And if, as players, you have an issue with it, but you're going to upset a lot of alums, a lot of the administrative people, a lot of the donors to the program, I think part of the lesson is for players, yes, you have the right to stand up and talk, but understand that there's also repercussions to your words that you'll have to live with. And so there's life's lessons in there also. And I don't know what the right answer is in every one of those situations, but it's a teaching moment, I think, for the coaching staff to explain to players, as you pointed out, make sure you have something relevant to say and understand what those repercussions are. Unfortunately, Dustin, that has to be it for our show. Thank you all for listening, and be sure to join us next time on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Fans are back, and so is tailgating. To celebrate, GoPSURV.com has a very special offer. For the first home game of the season, rent one RV and get a second one for free. A two-for-one deal. That's right. You can double the family, double the friends, definitely double the fun. Go to GoPSURV.com or call Mark at 1-800-519-8467 for more information.
It's time to get undomesticated. It's time for Labatt Blue. Time to get off the couch and on the beach, on the trails, on the lake, onto what you love doing best. Get in touch with your adventurous side. Get out the ATV, the tent, the sunscreen. Get out the cooler and fill it high with Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light, because nothing goes better with the great outdoors. It's time to get up, get out, get undomesticated. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Beer, Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York.